thank you very much, Mr. Nitzberg. Welcome, brethren. It's wonderful to see everyone's smiling faces today. And I hope everyone has a wonderful and happy Sabbath. So today, brethren, I'm going to talk about something that you might think is more appropriate for the Passover season, but it's something that recently happened in my life, so I thought that I would go ahead and speak to it, and hopefully we can gain a little bit more understanding on a particular subject. So just a few weeks ago, my youngest son got a new iPhone, his first iPhone ever, so he's very excited. And I was very happy that he downloaded the Bible app on his iPhone. And if you probably know this already, but for those who don't, when you download this particular app, you can press play and it will be read to you. So my 11-year-old son, he puts in his earbuds, he presses play, starts Genesis 1, starts riding his bike around the neighborhood, and just starts listening to the Bible. We would talk about it, and he would ask me questions about things that he had listened to. And we got to the part a couple weeks ago where he goes, "Dad, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart?" And so I'm like, "Emergency prayer, please help me." This is a tough question, right? It's one that people have struggled with, I think, for probably thousands of years. So I decided to start with the very basic answer, because the truth is there are multiple layers of answers to this question. There's not just one answer to this question. And I think in his 11-year-old mind, he was wondering, well, if God hardened Pharaoh's heart and then he punished him, that doesn't seem fair, does it? And so really what his question is at rock bottom is God truly fair? Is God truly just? And he wanted to know. He wanted me to tell him, what the answer was. So why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Brethren, today the title of my sermonette is, Why Does God Harden People's Hearts? Because I think it's also fair to say that Pharaoh wasn't the only one to whom God hardened his heart. He hardens other people's hearts throughout the Bible and throughout history. So today we're going to explore that answer to this question, why does God harden people's hearts? So as I mentioned, I started very basic. I said, well, you know what? Why did God say that he hardened his heart? So let's turn there together, brethren, and we'll see the reason that God gave to Moses for why he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. That's found in Exodus chapter 7, Exodus chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. So we'll read today. So God said in Exodus chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." So there you have it. That's the answer. What did God say here? Let's just quickly review. The reasons God gives are, number one, to multiply his signs and wonders in Egypt. Also, he said one of the reasons is to bring out the Israelites from the land. And he also said, so that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. But I think we're still back to our original problem. Is it fair for God to do this? Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about the issue. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and we'll start on verse 14. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." So let's pause there for a moment. And let's establish a fundamental fact that we all already know. But it's that every single person on this earth throughout history is guilty of sin and deserving of punishment, with one big exception. Can anybody tell me who that is? That's right, Jesus Christ. That's the one big exception. But everyone else is deserving of sin. But God is merciful. And the quality of mercy and compassion is a good thing, especially when we need it personally. So there is no unrighteousness with God, brethren. He is merciful and he is just. So let's continue on in verse 17. "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens." So answer number two, Paul gives us, it's within God's right to have mercy upon his creatures and to harden those to fulfill his plan and his purpose. And that's what God said. I mean, he was fulfilling his plan to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and also to show the Egyptians that he was Yahweh. He was the one true God. So it's within his right, and I think we all understand that. Verse 19, let's continue on a little more. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Now, this is really the basic question, isn't it? And Paul says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply back to God, to reply against God? So it's the who are you rebuttal. Who are you? You don't have all the variables in this equation. Who are you? If you think you're right, you're not. You're wrong. God's right. Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and the other for dishonor? The answer is rhetorical. Of course, yes, he can. So you don't have a right as a puny human being to tell God that he's unjust. If you think you're right or better than he is, then you're wrong. Okay? So now, that is true, and I find the answer to be correct, and I think we all do. But I personally found that to be an unsatisfying answer. Because we've been taught and we know that God is just and he's loving. And we've also been given free will, right? That's the other thing. So are there any more answers in the Bible given to us to help us understand why God would harden Pharaoh's heart and then maybe harden other people's hearts as well? Well, the answer really is found in Exodus. It's in chapters 4 through 14. Good news, we're not going to read them all now. Okay, but it's through 4 through 14. And unfortunately, there's not just a soundbite that I can give you to answer that. But what I do want to do is point out a few things. And if you want to check up on me, I would encourage you to do that. The very first time that God says he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. He says, I will harden his heart. But then a strange thing happens. He doesn't actually he's not given credit for hardening Pharaoh's heart until plague 6. Plague 1, even the pre-plague, when Aaron throws down his rod, it doesn't say that God hardened his heart. It says Pharaoh's heart grew hard. It doesn't really give credit to God. It doesn't really give credit to Pharaoh. It's kind of like it just happened. Like, you know, the grass grows. His heart grew hard. His heart grew hard for plague 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But in plagues 2 and 4, it actually says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. So it directly credits Pharaoh for hardening his heart. He made a conscious free will choice at least twice. It's very clear that he decided to harden his heart. So did he sin? Did he make a mistake? Was God fair to judge him? Absolutely. Absolutely. And then in plague 6, it's the first time it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's the plague of boils in Exodus chapter 9, verse 12. And then subsequent plagues, it always says, you know, for every single one of them, you can find where the scripture credits God for hardening Pharaoh's heart. So brethren, I've heard it said recently that salvation is a gift, but punishment is always earned. And clearly that is true. And so the third answer here is that the hardening of Pharaoh's heart was part of his punishment. God used hardening as a punishment. And then he let the logical conclusion of the sin play out till the end of the road. And he was not just being a nice Pharaoh, innocent, trying to lead his country. He had enslaved the Israelites. He had actively disobeyed God in at least two instances where he's directly credited. So God has the right to punish these sins, and he can punish sins in however way, in whatever way he chooses, in however way he deems appropriate. So let's go to some other places where we see other people's hearts being hardened because it wasn't just Pharaoh. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Does God harden other people's hearts? The answer is yes, he does. This is during the conquest. Israelites are taking the land. Start in verse 18. It says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might, may destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here's another example where God hardened the Canaanites' hearts. Now, were they innocent? No, they sacrificed children to their pagan gods. They were extremely immoral. In fact, God even told Abraham in Genesis that the sin of the people living in that land was not yet full. Well, at this point in time, it was full, and it was time for God to judge them. And this is how he did it. This was part of the punishment. And for our final scripture, brethren, to make this point, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll read verses 8 through 12. This is the part where Isaiah is having a vision. He's inside the temple. He sees basically the bottom part of God's robes and his glory, and the seraphim are flying, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the scene that we're in. You know, the seraphim puts the hot coals on Isaiah's lips. Right after that, this is what we're going to read. Verse 8, Isaiah 6, verse 8. It says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people,'" speaking about the children of Israel, the Israelites, "'go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.' Then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land.'" So in this instance, brethren, God actually blinded and made the heart of his own people dull so that he could pronounce judgment on them. So it's an important point to note, though, that the hardening is not permanent. It's a temporary state. We've got to remember that eventually Pharaoh did let them go. And eventually, once the judgment has been executed on someone who is guilty of their sin, you know, God allows them to kind of wake up again and say, "What have I done?" And they can see the full consequences of their sin. So, brethren, in conclusion, why does God harden people's hearts? Is God fair and just? Is there any unrighteousness with God? The answer is certainly not. Certainly not. We've examined a number of answers to this question. First one is God hardens because he's going to fulfill his plan and his purpose. Okay? He can move the chess pieces around in this universe and make sure that he fulfills his plan and purpose, and he is victorious in the end. Another answer to this question is he has the right to do whatever he wants. He owns us. We're his creatures. He can do whatever he wants with us. But God is just. God is righteous. God is merciful, long-suffering. And so he doesn't deal with his creatures in an unjust way. But hardening and blinding is a method that God uses to punish people for their sins. So if I could put it simply, the hardening is punishment. Hardening is punishment. Why does God harden people's hearts? It's as a punishment. So it's like God saying, "You want to sin and rebel against me? Fine, I'll give you what you want." And sometimes that's the worst thing, is when God gives you what you actually want. "I choose this, I choose this, I choose this." God says, "Fine, let's see where this ends. Let's see go to the end of this road, and you'll see where it leads." You know, brethren, what about free will? You know, people, but still, there's free will, right? Well, I just want to make an observation that a prisoner who has been condemned and is now in prison serving their sentence, they don't have any more free will. They're told when they sleep, they're told when they wake up, they're told when they eat, they're told when they take a shower. They don't have any more free will. They have been condemned, or you know, they've been put in prison, and their free will has been taken away because they've been pronounced guilty. So, you know, think about that when you get the objection to what about free will. So, brethren, what lesson can we learn from this? What application does it have to us, or some understanding it could give us? I think there's two of them. And one is, let's look at our country today. Look at America. You know, when you see things, it's just gone crazy, right? And we ask ourselves, are people so blind? How can they go down this path and not see it's leading to destruction? It's not bearing good fruit, but they're still doing it. Are they so stubborn they won't change? Answer is yes. I believe it's very possible that America is being judged right now, and we're seeing this happen. And God's going to take it down the path until he decides to quit, right? Until the judgment has been executed. But also for us, brethren, what about us, you know, in our personal lives? Is there anything that we're just being really stubborn about that we maybe know better, or we're turning a blind eye to because we just don't want to deal with it? We have to repent. We can't do that. God's merciful. But eventually, if we continue in that way, God will give us what we want. And that's not what we really want. So, brethren, let's pray for mercy that God doesn't harden us. Let's pray for mercy for our country, for the world. And, brethren, may we continue to follow and obey the word of the Lord. And may we remain his humble servants.